announce tonight's topic as Noah's Ark and instrumental music. Let me start with instrumental music. People around the world, around this nation at least, oftentimes when they hear those words Church of Christ, one of the first things that comes to their mind is they don't believe in having a piano. They don't have instrumental music in their worship. And I wonder, you know, sometimes, why is it that that is such a controversial issue with some? In fact, with some, it is so critical to them, they just, I don't even want to attend that place. I want you to think about it. Here it is, it's a hot, burning issue, and yet even those who are in favor of it don't usually come up and say, well, the New Testament says use instrumental music. Folks, if we wanted to, we could take the time tonight. It would take us a good while. We can start with the beginning of the church in Acts 2, and we can go right through the New Testament, and we won't find that passage. That's not really the issue. I don't think many people believe it is. I think the issue is that people have different attitudes about Bible authority. Now, what do I mean about Bible authority? What I really mean is how we understand the Bible. How we are to go about understanding what God is saying to us. I don't use the term Bible authority that much in my preaching. And yet I preach on Bible authority a lot. When you say Bible authority, I don't know that that means a lot to some people. But what I'm talking about is how does God instruct us? How does God permit us? You know, sometimes there are things God says that He requires of us. There may be other times that God allows something that He doesn't necessarily require. How does God give His authorization, His permission to us? That's what I want to talk about. You know, how do we obey Revelation 22? If you have your Bible, look at these words. They're familiar words, I think. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. And my primary concern tonight is how do we determine when somebody is adding to God's Word and not adding to it? Is it adding to God's Word to use electric lights here tonight? Is it adding to God's Word to use a piano? You know, in the minds of some, one would be no more adding than the other. And yet, of course, I mean, you're probably ahead of me. My conclusion is electric lights are not adding to God's Word, whereas a piano would be. But how do I come to that conclusion? Well, tonight I want to just go over with you some very simple concepts that sometimes we preachers have made hard. Sometimes we make it hard. We start talking about, well, you know, there are general or generic commands. There are specific commands. We'll talk about aids and expedients. And what we end up doing, and, you know, we sometimes make it seem like this is a complex subject. And it's really not. We don't use words like this in our everyday speech. And yet, we use the concepts, sometimes without recognizing these particular terms. I think you'll see what I mean as we go through the lesson. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6, and let's look at Noah's Ark. The story of Noah is a story of a time when God was filled with disgust at the way the world had become. Chapter 6, verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So what did God do? God said, I'm going to destroy the world. But it said there was a man named Noah that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And to Noah, God gave instruction to build this huge boat, and we'll talk about the size of it a little later on, to build this huge boat on which he and his family and a representative of each animal would be saved. Actually, several from each family, of each animal. And then the rains came, and the flood destroyed the world. It is a great story. It is a story that has many applications. It's a story you find referenced several times in the New Testament. You'll find it referenced various times in the Old Testament. But I want to use it to understand how God speaks to man. Bible authority, how God speaks. I want you to look at some verses for the concept of specific commands. Verse 14, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And then also in chapter 7, verse 2, you shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. You can see how some of what God said to Noah was very specific. What was Noah to build this ark of? I can take little children out of Bible classes, and they can tell you the ark was to be made of gopher wood. They may not know what gopher wood is. I'm not sure exactly what kind of wood that was. But that was a very specific type of gopher wood. Could he use other woods? If he used other woods, he wouldn't have done what God said. And we understand that. We understand that once you have specified a wood, then you don't have to list all the things you can't use. What about the size of this ark? Was it a big boat? Oh, yeah. It was 300 by 50 by 30 cubits. 450 feet approximately. You know, that's a football field and a half long. But could you have said, well, you know, I don't really like these proportions. I think I'm going to build a big boat. But I don't think I like the way that was laid out. Not if you're going to do what God said. If the size didn't matter, why did God tell him a size? Then look at the number of decks. In verse 16, you shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. That's pretty specific, isn't it? How many of each animal was he to take? Well, chapter 7, verse 2, seven of the clean, male and female, then two of the animals that are unclean. Now, what I want you to really grasp hold of here is, had you been Noah, and God had given you these instructions, you would not have had to stop and say, now, gopher wood is a very specific command that excludes all these other woods. When he said gopher wood, you'd have just said, okay, I built it out of gopher wood. You know, you don't have to do some kind of technical analysis. You know, we're analyzing it, but he would have understood it. Okay? But let's think about it in a little more general way. What we might call AIDS. How are you going to build a boat like that? What kind of tools would you need? How wide are these planks of gopher wood supposed to be? 4 inches? 8 inches? A foot wide? You know, how are you supposed to put the animals on the boat? Now, I mean, you know, on which deck had three decks? On which deck did the deer go? On which deck were the sheep? How old were the sheep supposed to be? Now, what we understand is God didn't specify any of this. God didn't say, Noah, use a hammer, a saw, a plane, an axe, you know, make the boards this wide. Those are things that Noah would decide upon. God left that up to him. Could Noah have used a saw if that's what it was needed? If there had been an electric saw available, a chainsaw, he could have used that. But what if Noah had used this reasoning? He just said, well, now God told me to build this boat. And in order to build this boat, I need a saw. Well, now that I've got this saw to build the boat, I think I'm going to use that same saw to build me a little barge to tie onto the ark, because I don't like the idea of having that billy goat in the ark with me. You know, have you ever kept goats? Billy goats stink, you know. You know, no, we're not even talking about what he would have thought about the skunk. You know, could Noah have used this kind of reasoning and said, well, now God told me to build a boat. To build a boat, you have to use the tools. Once I've started using these tools, I might as well go on and build me another barge and put the animals I don't want on the boat with me. Well, who wouldn't understand that there's a huge difference? He's not following instructions anymore. He's adding to what God said. God said, build a boat 300 by 50 by 30. He didn't say, Noah, tie as many barges as you need to fit the smelly animals on there with you. Or, you know, if you and Mrs. Noah have a fight, you know, maybe she can ride on one of the barges. Didn't make allowance for any of that. Could Noah have decided, you know, I'm going to use some 4-inch planks and some 8-inch planks of gopher wood. God didn't say what kind, but when he said, well, if I can do that, why can't I have alternating planks of oak and gopher wood? Now that's changed what God said. If you had 4-inch, 8-inch, 12-inch, 2-foot planks of gopher wood, even on what God said, but you begin to put something else in and you've changed what he said. You know, on which level did he keep the dogs? You know, I don't know. See, I'm not sure what level Noah stayed on. You know? Well, you know, if he was a dog person, could he have kept the dogs close to him? You know, and if he was not a cat person, you know, well, obviously you got to keep the cats and the dogs separate. See, we wouldn't even stop to think about a question like that. Because we understand, very simply, God said, build a boat. He said, make it out of these materials, make it this size, take this number of animals. And we understand that Noah would take whatever tools were necessary to build a boat of gopher wood that was 300 by 50 by 30, and that he would put 7 of the clean and 2 of the unclean on the boat, and he'd put them wherever he felt it was best to put them. That he didn't have to put the dogs on any certain level. He could put them where he wanted them to. We understand that. We don't... You can call it general authority. That he had... God permitted him to use a saw under, we call it general authority. Because that's what was necessary to do the job. It was a tool. It wasn't adding to God's word. Whereas a barge for the skunk was adding to the plan. Well, let me give you another illustration. In Numbers, the 19th chapter, we have a story that's not as familiar to us, probably. It's the story of the red heifer, the cleansing. In the law of Moses, there were various things that would make a person unclean. And one was touching a dead body. In order to be cleansed from defilement after you touched a dead body, there had to be a sprinkling of water. And that water purification required ashes. Now, I want you to read with me what had to be done. Verse 2. This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, in which there is no defect, and on which a yoke has never come. You shall give it to Eleazar the priest, that he may take it outside the camp, and it shall be slaughtered before him. And Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger, and sprinkle some of its blood seven times directly in front of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the heifer shall be burned in his sight. Its hide, its flesh, its blood, and its offal shall be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast them into the midst of the fire, burning the heifer. And in verse 9, then a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and store them outside the camp in a clean place, and they shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for the water of purification. It is for purifying from sin. Now, you need to go on and read the rest of this to understand about the purification, but that's not our point tonight. Our point is how God communicates with man. He says, take the ashes of a red heifer. Now, I want to ask you what red heifer means, but first of all, just in case you don't know what heifer means, there was a story years ago about J.D. Tant was preaching in Nashville, Tennessee, and he used the word bull in a sermon. And somebody said, Brother Tant said, here in Nashville, we don't say bull. He said, well, what should I say? And they said, well, you can say Mr. Cow, you know. So, bull is Mr. Cow. Heifer is Miss Cow. A heifer is a young female that has never had a calf. And you didn't know that. Probably, you know, not everybody was lucky enough to grow up on a farm, and so somebody might not know that. What did red heifer mean? When he said take a red heifer, did he mean a black heifer? I don't think so. Did he mean he could take a red bull? You could take red Mr. Cow? Or do you think when he said a red heifer, he meant a red heifer? Well, of course. If he said a red heifer, he was specific as to color and to gender. That's not hard to understand. What kind of wood was he supposed to use in this fire? He said cedar. That's the words he said. Verse 6, and the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet, cast them in the midst of the fire. Why cedar? I have no idea. That's what he said. And then look at verse 9. Then a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and store them outside the camp in a clean place. Now what was he supposed to store these in? See, I don't know that. You see the difference? Red heifer. That's pretty specific. Cedar. That's specific. Then he says, store the ashes in a clean place. Store them in a metal container? An earthen container? If they would have had Tupperware then? You know, he just says store them. You use what tool, what aid is necessary to store the ashes. You know, sometimes we preachers would call it an expedient. Okay? A tool. You had to have, if you're going to store the ashes, you've got to have something to store them in. Remember, this is a people who move from place to place. You know, they're in the wilderness right now. They're going to be moving. Well, where are they going to store it? In something. God left that choice to them. You see this? God speaks. Very specific. Red heifer. God says, store the ashes. You've got to make a decision there. You have to choose how you're going to store them. Well, let's come to one more before we turn to the instrumental music question. I want to talk about the Great Commission. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, Jesus has been resurrected. He meets with his apostles in Galilee. In verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Keep putting that in your mind. Turn to Mark 16 and let's get a parallel account. In verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. There are some things that are very specific in that. He tells them what to teach. You teach them all things that I have commanded you. He didn't say go into the world and share your philosophy with the world. Offer your opinions. He said, Matthew 28:20, you teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Mark 16, he says, verse 15 is preach the gospel. Verse 16 defines that gospel. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Specific about this. He was specific about those who were to be taught. He said, you're going to make disciples of all the nations. You preach the gospel to every creature. And you may be aware of the fact, most are, that kind of became a sticking point. There were some that had trouble remembering that was what he said. They wanted to exclude the Gentiles. No, God was very specific. I want this gospel to go to everybody. Being very specific about the thing to be taught, the people who were to be taught. But some of it was not quite as specific. For example, how they were to go. He didn't tell them what form of transportation to use. He just said, take this message out. He didn't even tell them how to teach, what means of communication they were to use. Sometimes I find them speaking orally. Sometimes I find it written. Sometimes I find them engaged in preaching much like I'm doing tonight. Other times you find them engaged in, forms of debate. It's not as formalized as sometimes we will see in a debate, but there would be debates in the synagogue, in other places. You would see house-to-house individual teaching. God wasn't specific about how to teach. He left that to them. Now, I want you to think about what that means to us today. God didn't specify forms of communication. He didn't specify forms of transportation. I can drive a car. Somebody says, the Apostle Paul never drove a car. No. God never told Paul how to get from city to city. If Paul had had a car, I believe he would have driven a car. Or he would have had Timothy drive the car while he, rested in the back seat. He would have used a car. Paul didn't have PowerPoint. PowerPoint hadn't been developed. But Paul used various means at his disposal. We can use changing technologies because God didn't specify those. But then he was specific about the commandments. And there's nothing outdated about those. He's going to give you one example from it. One of the things he said, you go and preach, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Anywhere there's human life, there's water. Sometimes water today may be chlorinated. Sometimes water today may be quite polluted. But wherever there are people, there's water. And we can still carry out the commandment that God gave then. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. You see, that doesn't change. We understand. Look at that. Go. How do you go? He didn't tell you. What do you preach? He told you what to preach. You see, I can use a PowerPoint, I can use a PA to amplify my voice. That's under the forms of communication. But whatever comes out of this mic, whatever I teach through the PowerPoint or through the whiteboard or whatever, better be the same message that he specified. He told what message was to be preached. Now, let's come to music. Let's turn to Ephesians 5:19.
in Colossians 3:16. These are two passages we can look at that I believe will help us to understand this question. And I want you just to use the same kind of reasoning, the same kind of thinking that we would use about Noah's Ark. Verse 18 begins, he said, "Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Turning over just a few pages to Colossians 3:16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now when you read that, are there specifics mentioned? Well, he said sing. He used the same reasoning we would have used with God saying to Noah, "Build the ark." What did he say to us? He said, "Sing." Does sing mean to hum? Does sing mean to whistle? Does sing mean to play an instrument? No. Red heifer? It didn't mean a red bull. It didn't mean a black heifer. Gopher wood didn't mean use any kind of wood you wanted. 300 by 50 by 30. Didn't mean build a big boat. It meant build a boat that's 300 by 50 by 30. If God says sing, he means to sing. What kind of songs are we to sing? Well, in a sense, I will say this one is both specific and general. It is specific in that he says you are to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Songs that are fitted for the praise of God and the admonishment of one another. Remember, teach and admonish one another through these. That's specific enough to exclude. There are a lot of songs that are not, there's nothing vulgar about them, but they don't fit in that category. You know, maybe patriotic songs. Maybe just be fun songs, children's songs. But everybody likes the same. They don't fit into that category. And yet, he wasn't specific about the titles we're to sing. He didn't even tell you how many. Somebody the other night asked E.R., said, "How many songs are we supposed to sing tonight before the sermon?" E.R. said, "Three or four." You know, that's up to the song leader. You know, preachers get a little nervous when they start seeing too many songs up there because they know that that's going to cut into their time. But you see, God was specific. You sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. But he didn't say, "Okay, here is my list." You know, the radio stations would call it the playlist. You know, he didn't give us that list. "Amazing Grace," "How Great Thou Art." You know, no. He left that to us. What kind of singing are we to do? What our book is written for is mostly four-part harmony. You know, some churches will be a little lacking on the tenor and it ends up being three-part, but are we supposed to sing four-part? Is that what God told us? Or did God say sing melody only? That's the kind of singing, if you have a children's class and you say, "Let's sing Jesus Loves Me." They don't get out books and try to get bass and alto and tenor. Just everybody joins in. In fact, if I told you to sing Jesus Loves Me and don't turn to the page in the songbook where you find your part, that's what we do with that. Some have said they believe that early Christians sang with a chant type of music. In fact, there are a couple of songs that are written in that style. My point is, did he specify a style of singing? No. He said sing. If you want to sing with parts, or you want to sing with everybody doing the melody, sing that way. Did he specify singing from memory? That limit my playlist to about two songs, but can you sing from memory? Can you sing from a book? Do you see what we're talking about here? We're talking about things God didn't specify. We're talking about whatever tool is necessary to carry out the command. We have a commandment to sing. If this tool right up here was sharp enough, then we could all just sing from memory. But for most of us, we need another tool to help us. But what happens here is sometimes somebody says, well, you know, if you're going to add your songbook, because your songbook's not mentioned in the New Testament either, then I'm going to add my piano. That's where somebody comes in. That's what the question I raised her. Are electric lights an addition? Somebody will say, this songbook is just as much an addition as my piano. Is it really? Don't you think about that? Think about the barge and the hammer, the saw we talked about earlier. What would a barge have done in the case of Noah's Ark? That little tag-along barge would have changed what God had said. What did a hammer or a saw do? They helped Noah do what God told him to do. If we bring in a piano, we've tied a barge on it. We've added something. We've added a new kind of music. We're not singing now. Or we may be singing, but we're also playing. When we use a song book, what are we doing? We're getting our hammer out to build the ark. We're doing what God told us to do. There is no parallel between a piano and a song book. One of them is a tool to do the job God gave us. One of them changes the blueprint.
Amen.
And adds something else. Bible authority is not complicated. I have made it that way many times in preaching. I will confess to you. But it's really simple. You know, we don't do technical analysis when somebody just gives us instructions. We're not inclined to think that Noah had to sit around and do a technical analysis. And the truth be told, we shouldn't have to do that with Ephesians 5:19 or Colossians 3:16. God said, sing. Okay, let's sing. Well, what are we going to sing? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. That's what we're going to do. How are we going to sing them? Well, we have trouble remembering the words, so we're going to pass around sheets of paper with words on them or put them in a book. You know, we might be best if we have somebody stand up and get us started so we can all make sure we're on the same page. You don't have to do it that way. But that's a good way of doing it. You know, I don't know just what order Noah worked in on the boat. That was his choice. Take what God said and understand it the way you would understand communication in any other time. But remember, well, let me raise a question with you, I guess. Because what happens sometimes is I get to this point with some people. And there are some who will get to this point with me and say, yeah, you're right. There is nothing in the New Testament that would authorize or permit instrumental music. But do you really think it matters? I mean, are we not maybe being a little too picky by saying that it matters? You see, it's not just a matter of my proving to someone the New Testament doesn't authorize it. I've got to prove that it matters if the New Testament does that. Let me give you three passages and we'll bring the lesson to a close. In Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, but he who does the will of the Father. You've got to do what God wants. You've got to listen to His communication. Consider another passage, 2 John 9. Very near the close of the New Testament. John said, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If you want to enjoy fellowship with the Father and Son, there is the doctrine, teaching of Christ. He says, you've got to stay within that. You do not have the right to go beyond that. Stay in it. Abide in the doctrine of Christ.
Amen.
And finally, Revelation 22, verse 18. We read this at the very beginning. Read it in this light. For I testify to everyone who hears the words, the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. You read those words. Does it sound like it matters if we take it the way it's written? Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Noah's Ark teaches us how God communicates with man. He speaks to man sometimes very specifically, sometimes in a more general way. When God gives you a job to do, He allows you to use whatever tools are necessary to get the job done. When God speaks to us in the New Testament about music, He speaks sometimes very specifically. He tells us what type of music He desires. He leaves some things up to our judgment, and yet He's been specific. Just as Noah had no right to change the wood, to change the size, we have no right to change the type of music to be offered, the type of singing that God wants offered unto Him. If you don't agree with me on this, please don't leave without talking with me. Let me have further time to explore this with you. But I hope we understand these points. I hope we agree on them. And this evening, as we sing the song of invitation, I want you to think back to our illustration from the Great Commission. In the Great Commission, He gave some very specific words. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. I'm fully aware of the fact that a lot of people will tell you, you do not have to be baptized. But those are the words of Jesus. Would you take the words of Jesus or the words of man? Man will tell you something very different. All you have to do is believe. But I believe you ought to listen to the Lord. And you ought to obey His specific command this evening. If we can help you, come as we stand and sing together.